following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 233, recorded on Thursday, December 21st, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Santa Claus, Brad Ludwig. Hello, Brad.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Coming up on this very special episode, we'll cover the recent revelation that the U.S. government ran a secret UFO investigation program in the mid to late 2000s, plus a sighting along with our picks and warnings. Before all that, though, the question.
Dave?
Huh? Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
Do you think Santa Claus is an alien? And if you do, what's your evidence, Brad Ludwig? Or if not, explain why not.
See, I almost feel like this is dangerous territory because what if the kids are listening?
Oh. Yeah, you're right.
All right, everybody, if your children are in the room or within listening distance, cover their ears or send them out of the room, and I'll tell you what I think.
Okay, I think we've given them enough time.
All right, 3, 2, 1. You know, I'm going to have to say no.
Oh, Brad!
I know, I'm the naysayer here. I'm the naysayer. I just got a picture of my son hanging out with Santa Claus at a school function. So, I know that there's a Santa Claus in the mall, but can't be the same person. They do look facially different. Their outfits are a little different. Or if you're trying to say, are they aliens? Maybe.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Is it like an invasion force that comes and talks to our children and gets information from them and then goes to everybody's houses and gets DNA samples from everybody?
Oh, I see. Okay.
That sounds very sinister.
There was a Doctor Who episode where the Santa Clauses were aliens. Or they were robots,
yeah,
or something.
It was the Christmas episode of David Tennant.
It was his first episode,
I think.
Yeah.
And then they time traveled again and kind of ended up in the same moment. And we got to see the Santa Claus robots again. I remember that. So we got to see that particular scene essentially twice. Unless we're talking an invasion force, then yes, then they're aliens. But an individual Santa, no.
Okay.
Not feeling that.
Point, counterpoint, Brad Ludwig. I'm going to say they are, or he is, an alien.
Okay.
And here's my evidence. He has powers that we don't. He can come up through the chimney and go down the chimney with ease.
Okay.
He has flying reindeer. Now, how do you suppose those reindeer fly? And I'm saying advanced alien tech.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's either in the sleigh or the reindeer are mechanical, and they're the means to which the thing flies. Or both. Could be both, too. And I also think that the reason that he lives in the North Pole is because he is an alien. And his species, they come from a cold weather planet. So he has to be in the cold all the time.
Okay. I could see that from that point of that perspective that you got there, yes.
And one more thing, with his sleigh and reindeer, he can circumvent time and space. So that's how he can get to every single place in one night.
Yeah, I could see that.
So that's my evidence. Santa Claus is an alien.
You make a compelling case, sir.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
In the news.
This week, there was a bombshell that dropped. And this is the kind of story that we wait for here on the Alien Invasion. So we decided to devote almost the entire program to this. You ready, Brad? You ready to dive in, to dig in?
Boy, am I.
All right. I couldn't believe this when I heard the news, because I thought the U.S. government was done with these secret programs. But apparently, they weren't. The Pentagon says it ended a secretive UFO investigation program in 2012. The Pentagon confirmed on December 16th that it had a secret UFO investigation program, but it was ended in 2012, just like I said. The New York Times is reporting that the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, short, it's ATIP. ATIP. They were tasked with investigating sightings of unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, and it ran from 2007 to 2012 with $22 million in annual funding secretly tucked away in the U.S. Defense Department's budget, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So what they got was a drop in the bucket compared to the money that was spent on everything else. People that were complaining about that, stop it. Its initial funding came largely at the request of former Senate Democrat, Democratic leader Harry Reid, long known for his enthusiasm for space phenomena, the newspaper said. Yet, according to backers, the program remains in existence, and officials continue to investigate episodes brought to their attention by service members, according to the Times. So this wasn't civilian incidences. This is all military incidences.
Mm-hmm.
In a statement, the Pentagon says it was determined that there were other higher priority issues that merited funding, and it was in the best interest of the DOD to make a change. So I'm thinking the program is still running, but they're saying it's not running, but it's still running. Because you know how the government is, right?
Yeah. I'm very interested in the timing of that. So 2007 would have been at the end of President Bush.
Yep.
And the next, that would have been, the rest of it would have been all the way through the first term of President Obama.
Yeah, because it was 2012. His term started 2009, right? So 9, 10,
yeah.
11, 12.
Yep.
So his first term. His first term, yeah. How excited were you when you heard this?
I was of two minds on this. You know, one, I think it's always good when, I'm going to get flack for this probably, but when actual scientists are looking into this because they have really high quality equipment, you know, they've got the best to work with. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they have access to, you know, give this data to other scientists for peer review, and they can come to a well-informed conclusion on that data. Now, the other flip side to this is, you probably remember, let me take you back in time to the 1980s and the $100 toilet seats that the military got, and $50 hammers.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this. Okay, continue.
So if you're the kind of person who says, okay, that's great that the military has the money that it does, but is this classified then as government waste? If that person, one, is kind of a budget or deficit hawk, and two, if they don't believe in alien phenomenon or UFO phenomenon. So is this money essentially just being set on fire by the US government? So I guess we'll never know exactly what the Pentagon, what information they put together, or at least not for a little bit until, it can be released through the Freedom of Information Act, stuff that they've researched needs to be redacted. Like maybe another country's had a spy plane that, or one of our spy planes had been mistakenly seen and nobody knew that it was there. They can't give out those type of information. So you know what I'm saying? There has to be a certain span of time before things like that can be released to the general public. And I don't know what that did, if that's 25 years or what that is. So, would it fall under that? Will we ever know?
Yeah.
Will we know in our lifetime what they actually put together, what data they had up until 2012?
Well, some people are talking, and we'll get into that here in the next story. But from what they're saying, they're pretty convinced that we're not alone. I know it's not scientific evidence. It's just eyewitness reports or people that were with the program that saw the evidence. But still, it's pretty convincing, some of the stuff that they're saying. I was just surprised that it just kind of came out of the blue.
It really did.
It's like manna from heaven. It's like,
Yeah, I remember, and it was a legitimate news site, and that popped up. I'm like, what? How did we get here?
And they've been on, the people that were in the program were on CNN, like the pilot of the, okay, just a little teaser here. The video that accompanied all this news, there was actually two videos, but one of the videos is our sighting this week. So we'll go into the explanation of what this pilot saw. But the pilot was on CNN, or he was interviewed by some news organization. But there's been multiple people from this program or involved in some way coming out and saying what they believe and what they saw. So it's not like it's just hearsay. We never got the people from Project Blue Book, coming out shortly, like this close after the program ended, saying what they saw or what the evidence was. So I'm really excited about that part.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's wrap this up and then come back with the second story in our special edition of the Alien Invasion. I wish I had special bumper music made for this.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, like CNN, breaking news. Breaking news! I'm Wolf Blitzer. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks, or click on the icons at gncast.com.
A former Pentagon official who led a recently revealed government program to research potential UFOs says he believes there is evidence of alien life reaching Earth. And we're going to start with a quote here. "My personal belief is that there is very compelling evidence that we may not be alone." This is from Luis Elizondo. And he said this in an interview on CNN's Erin Burnett Out Front.
Out Front, Erin Burnett. She always she always includes the name of her show in things. So-and-so is out front tonight. I watch too much CNN. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
All right. Elizondo told the New York Times he resigned from the Department of Defense in October in protest over what he called excessive secrecy surrounding the program and internal opposition to it after funding for the effort ended in 2012.
This is kind of what I'm saying, that I think the program is still running, because he retired from the Department of Defense in October. But what was he doing between 2012 and this year?
I'll speculate as soon as we get to the end of
okay.
this.
Okay, I'll continue.
Okay, so on Monday, Elizondo said that he could not speak on behalf of the government, but he strongly implied there was evidence that stopped him from ruling out the possibility that alien aircraft visited Earth. He's quoted as saying, "These aircraft, we'll call them aircraft, are displaying characteristics that are not currently within the U.S. inventory, nor in any foreign inventory that we are aware of." He said the program sought out to identify what had been seen, either through tools or eyewitness reports, and then ascertain and determine if that information is a potential threat to national security. He's quoted as saying, "We found a lot."
I love that line.
Yeah. The former Pentagon official said they identified anomalous aircraft that were seemingly defying the laws of aerodynamics. Things that don't have any obvious flight services, any obvious forms of propulsion, and maneuvering in ways that include extreme maneuverability beyond, I would submit, the healthy G-forces of a human or anything biological, Elizondo said. So, these things are moving at an amazing speed, doing turns and flips and maneuvers that no human being could withstand without some form of technology that we currently don't employ, or nobody employs, to try to help the human body compensate for these extreme forces. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and the evidence mounts in the sighting, because we're going to get like several quotes from an experienced pilot, like a fighter pilot who's had like 20 years of experience. And he's saying that these maneuvers aren't possible with our technology. I wonder what kind of thing they have to sign. Like, if was this...
Oh, there absolutely has to be some... I mean, if you're working in the Department of Defense, you have to get security clearances.
So this, the stuff that
no
he...
two ways about it.
The stuff that he said must have been, like, secret or top secret, right?
He's not really giving away any details, which is the beauty of this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I see it.
He's not giving any specific information about the craft, at least not that we're seeing here. Okay, let's be fair in that. With what we're seeing here, he's not saying the shapes of the craft, where they specifically saw the crafts, at least in this story. But he is saying that they're doing crazy things that shouldn't be possible. And like you said, it's been 5 years. Maybe there's a limitation to a non-disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he worked for the government, and it's like, okay, after 5 years, you can, you know, do whatever. We've done enough stuff, or we've moved on, so that isn't really that important.
Maybe, you know, he checked with somebody first.
Yeah, I would think that that might be the case.
Just to make sure, because you never know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay, hang on to your pants, people, because it gets better. Stick around for the sighting, because we're going to dig into what actually happened, or one of the incidents that this organization investigated. So, oh, stick around. It's going to be good. If you enjoy this podcast, The Alien Invasion, and would like to get involved and be our partner, you know, do more than just subscribe or listen, you can be a partner with us by going to gncasts.com/support and then click on the Patreon link. We have different levels, and they all have rewards. $1, $3, and $5 a month. And we're not talking per episode or per week. This is per month. almost anybody could afford a dollar a month. And you could even get your name mentioned on the air, get a bonus podcast, or even have a whole message read by one of us jokers. You know, consider it like a commercial. Like, you got something coming up, you got something you want to get some eyeballs on or some eardrums on, become a partner at the $5 level, and that will get you a commercial on all of our shows. So again, go to gncasts.com/support and become our partner. Partner.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
It had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
This is our sighting segment where we discuss something that somebody saw in the sky or on the ground that suspiciously looks like what could be an alien craft. And this time, it involves what we've been talking about on this entire episode, the recent discovery or recent revelation that the U.S. government had a secret program in the mid to late 2000s that investigated UFOs among their military. So, retired Commander David Fravor spent 18 years as a Navy pilot, but nothing prepared him for what he witnessed during a routine training mission on November 14th, 2004. I can tell you, I think it was not from this world, Fravor told ABC News. I'm not crazy. Haven't been drinking. It was after 18 years of flying. I've seen pretty much about everything that I can see in that realm. And this was nothing close. Okay. Fravor's stunning retelling of his encounter off the California coast with what appeared to be a 40-foot-long wingless object that flew at incredible speeds in an erratic pattern comes as the Pentagon revealed the existence of a secret program to investigate sightings of UFOs. I have never seen anything in my life, in my history of flying, that has the performance, the acceleration. Keep in mind, this thing had no wings, Fravor said. He recalled flying his FA-18 fighter on a training mission on a beautiful Southern California day 13 years ago when things started to get strange. Controllers on one of the Navy ships on the water below reported objects that were dropping out of the sky from 80,000 feet and going straight back up, Fravor said. So again, objects dropping from the sky from 80,000 feet and then going straight back up. I don't think we have that technology. I'm just saying. As they were looking around for the object that appeared on the radar, another aviator spotted something. I was like, dude, do you see that? Fravor recalled saying. We look down. We see a white disturbance in the water, like something's under the surface. And the waves are breaking over. But we see next to it, and it's flying around. And this little white tic-tac, and it's moving around. Left, right, forward, back, just random, he said. The object didn't display the rotor wash typical of a helicopter or jet wash from a plane, he said. As we started to descend towards it coming up, it was flying in the elongated way, so it's like a tic-tac with the roundish end going in the forward direction. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I saw. I just know it was really impressive, really fast, and I would like to fly it. I think any pilot would have that. If they could get that opportunity, they'd love to fly something like that. That'd be crazy. Another plane that launched from the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz had its radar jammed. Its radar jammed. And was able to pick up the object on an infrared channel. He recalled that the speed of the object, which he said had no exhaust trail, in infrared scanning was stunning. No aircraft that we know of can fly at those speeds, maneuver like that, and looks like that, ABC News contributor and former Marine Colonel Stephen Ganyard said. So, that's our sighting. And there's a video to go along with this. We'll put it in the show notes if you've not seen it yet. Have you watched the video, Brad?
I have not.
It's pretty good. Like, it's not, like, crystal clear. Like, you can't see the object specifically that it is, like, an alien craft. But it's got a definite shape to it, and it definitely moves fast.
Hmm.
The last thing they show, it zipping, just zipping away really fast. And nothing that we have goes that fast.
Yeah. Ugh.
And these, you know, it's not like somebody recording video of something really far away that they can't tell what it is. These pilots were like on its butt. Like they were seeing it with their own eyes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about this. I'm also excited about the fact that we may hear from other people, you know, in the future that were involved in this program.
In the future.
In the future. All right. So we would love your feedback on this. Email aliens@gncasts.com. You can call our voicemail number. Let me see if I remember it. 805-328-3966. Reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter. Just search Galactic Network. And if you have a sighting of your own, we've got a few. We've had a few in the past. If you saw something, say something. Let us know and we'll put your story on the air.
Does the sound of the TARDIS get you all excited? Are you a fan of the longest-running science fiction show? Then for all your news and gossip, check out Who Knew and Review. You can find us at gncasts.com/TARDIS. We will run through a collection of stories from around the Hooniverse itself at gncasts.com/TARDIS.
Let's do our picks and warnings, shall we?
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
Okay, so this is the segment where we talk about things that we have listened to, watched, played, made, all somehow related to aliens and extraterrestrials. And Brad, looks like you're first in the order, so go ahead.
I am, and I have actually dipped a little bit into old-time radio.
Awesome. I love old-time radio.
Now, you know that I enjoy playing Fallout 4. Those of you who continue to listen know that I enjoy that game. Now, there are those that make mods for the game. In other words, you can add things to Fallout 4 to enhance your gameplay or change your gameplay. Now, I managed to stumble across a YouTube channel called Old World Radio Boston, and it's very interestingly crafted. He is playing music that is not copyrighted, and there are no claims to it. So it's in the public domain, right? So he's playing music from the time period that the Fallout 4 music comes from, which would be late 30s to early to mid 50s, let's say, with a few exceptions. Now, what he's done is he's actually hired some voice actors to pretend to be DJs that would be within this universe, as it were, and he's made extra radio channels to listen to. And what he's done then is he has created MP3s of this and has found a system to put it on YouTube and basically live stream. It's on rotation. So, I mean, it's on an infinite loop, essentially. But if you sat through and listened for about 2.5 hours, you would hear the entire program, and then it loops again. Anyway, That's the basic setup. So Old World Radio Boston. He has created now something called Repcon Radio. Repcon shows up in Fallout 3. And he's created this whole kind of sub-concept. But what he's doing is he's got some of these public domain episodes of a show called The Planet Man. And this was a radio program from the 50s, which is available for you to listen to on archive.org, which we know and love.
And while you're there, you can check out the early episodes of this podcast.
Yes, you can. But let me give you a kind of a brief rundown of what this is about. Okay. It's the story of Dantro, the Planet Man, the troubleshooter for the League of Planets organization, the law enforcement body for peace and justice in the celestial world, whose headquarters and center of operations are situated on the capital of all planets, Planetaria Rex. From Mercury to Pluto, wherever danger threatens the universe, you will find Dantro, the Planet Man, fighting for fair play. This is their like actual description of what it is. The Planet Man was a juvenile science fiction series of the 50s, transcribed and syndicated by Palladium Radio Productions. The stories are campy and predictable. Yes, they are. But silly fun nonetheless. Good for a laugh or for bedtime stories for younger listeners. Now, in the last episode I listened to, they have actually been fighting an insectoid race, which is causing trouble in the solar system. And they need to stop them from wreaking havoc and destruction. So Dantro and his sidekick are currently on the planet. They've kind of got an insectoid held hostage, and they're just kind of at gunpoint going, okay, show us the thing. Take us to where we need to be. His sidekick is a robot, essentially. And yeah, so, I mean, it's mindless fun. I'll give it that. You know my love of classic sci-fi, and this mm-hmm. just really feels like low-budget Flash Gordon serials.
Okay.
You know how you and I used to watch Saturday at the Bijou on PBS, and they would have the Flash Gordon serials. Now, these were, of course, the short films, the serials. But it has that whole feel of a Flash Gordon episode. I mean, if you're into classic sci-fi and you really are looking for something different, or you're nostalgic or even curious as to what older entertainment, while it was still done exclusively on the radio, you should give this a try. It's called The Planet Man, and we'll have a link in the show notes where you can actually listen to these for free, because like I said, these are in the public domain, and archive.org has got 77 episodes.
Wow.
And the longest episode that I see here on the list is 12 minutes and 4 seconds. So they are not long by any stretch of the imagination.
I wonder where they aired, like, because normally programs would be like either a half hour or an hour, right? Like, I wonder where they would, like, how they'd air these since they were so short.
Like, you know, I kind of wonder if they weren't, you know, piggybacked to something else.
Yeah, I was thinking that,
too. You know, you could listen to The Planet Man, and then they had another sci-fi show kind of back to back.
That's how they did it back then.
Yeah. So I'm kind of getting the impression that that might be, and then that would give them space between the shows to have commercials, mm-hmm. you know, with them being 12 minutes.
You could tell I'm in radio. I'm thinking about that kind of thing, like the formatics. Where do we put in the hour? I just love how they talked back then. That fast
boy.
Talk.
Some of that, there's, you know, the golly gee willikers that you'll hear every once in a while from some of the, the younger members that are a part of the force that Planet Man works for. Yeah, it's got a naivete, for lack of a better term, that, you know, when you think of classic entertainment like that, it definitely has that in spades.
All right, so it's time to rate it. How many flying sauces are you going to give it?
Taking into account that it is not entertainment as we would enjoy today, it would be a lot more complex. For what it is, for its production value, and for the entertainment value of it, I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's very respectable.
What I've heard, and I've heard, I want to say, I think I've heard about 4 episodes, maybe 5 now. Yeah, it's entertaining, and to me, it's well worth the time spent.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Moving on to my pick. This is one of those weeks where I thought I had something, but then I checked with you. I finally got a chance to watch Guardians of the Galaxy Volume. Is it Volume 2?
Volume 2,
Volume 2. It's on Netflix right now. And I'm like, oh, this would be a great pick. Then I check with you. I'm like, Brad, did you do Guardians 2 ever for a pick? And you're like, I think I did. I'm like, damn it.
I think I did a kind of a spoiler-free sort of a review, I want to say maybe 2 weeks after it came out.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that now. Okay. Yep. So I had to quickly come up with something, and my go-to was always YouTube and short films. So I found a 15-minute short film directed by a guy named Peter Ninos, N-I-N-O-S. It was made in 2014. South Australian production. So it's an Aussie film. And I'm going to make this real short because it's a short film and I don't have much to say about it. But here's the synopsis. A mysterious comet approaches Earth. Blackouts sweep across Australia. Jake Mercer soon discovers Omega is no ordinary comet. So one of the characters in the short film is a guy that's working at an observatory, and he's tracking the comet as it comes in. And he's looking at it. He's analyzing the footage and realizes that it's not a comet after all. They told him to cover it up, to say that it was just a weird, because it was 2 comets in one, kind of. It had 2 parts to it. And so he went on, made it known that they made him cover it up. That guy ended up getting shot by the government. And then this, what's his name? Jake Mercer. He worked for the military. He saw it happen. And he found, and I'm going to spoil the hell of this. I don't care. Because it's a short film, and I can't talk about it without spoiling it. So I'm all in. So Jake goes to where the observatory is, and he sees, I don't know if it's video or live footage of the comet, and he analyzes it. He kind of zooms in, and he realizes that it's not a comet. It's an alien spacecraft. So basically, the comet was coming in. It was causing the blackouts.
Okay.
His girlfriend, this Jake's girlfriend, worked in the hospital, and people were like coming in from automobile accidents and things caused by the blackout. So there's mayhem everywhere. The power's out. People don't know what's going on. And then at the end, the ship comes down. And it's cool because it comes down in 2 parts. There's like this claw-looking structure that comes down first. It's in multiple parts. And then the main body of the ship comes down, and the claws attach to it. So it's like a spacecraft with a big, like, these big legs. And then typically, this happens with every alien invasion film, the bottom is like a glowing thing, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and you know what's going to happen. The beam comes down and destroys the city. It's called Omega. It's an alien invasion short film. You can find it for free on YouTube, but I will have the link in the show notes. 15 minutes, easy peasy. I think you'll like it. I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers. It's not great, but it's not terrible. Those are our picks and warnings.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going to gncast.com/subscribe or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
That is going to do it for this special edition of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click on the links in the show notes. And again, we'll have the video of that UFO encounter with the Navy jets in the show notes as well. We'd like to thank Monkey Warhol for giving us our intro music, the song Alien Syndrome. You can find out more about him at monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also, a big thanks to Rutschward von Dernberg, a German composer, for our closing song called Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at thecaravel.net. thecaravel.net. Also, a big thank you to Ben Olson for recording our disclaimer audio at the start of the episode.
Thanks, Ben.
And since it is Christmas time at the time that we're recording this episode, so if you're listening to us in July and you're hot as hell, maybe maybe it'll make it cool off. But Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays from Brad and I and the Galactic Network.
Yay!
Thanks for watching and listening. Oh, shoot. Almost forgot. Final thought. Brad, what do you got?
I just saw Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Okay, without spoiling it, your feelings.
I enjoyed the film. I think you get a better view of the Jedi and the Force.
Oh.
In this.
Okay. Okay, now I'm intrigued. All right.
Yeah. And I think that that's part of... And you're reminded of something that was said earlier. I want to say in The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
You're reminded of something that's kind of been glossed over, but it's important.
All right. So I have kind of a bonus pick. My wife and I, Stephanie, are watching a show on Netflix called Dark, and I highly recommend it. It's a German show, but it's a Netflix production, but it's German. It's in the German language. So it's subtitled, but you can have your setting on Netflix to either get overdubbed in English or give you subtitles. I prefer subtitles because I think the emotion comes out more in the original language and the pacing and all that stuff. It's a little weird to hear the English dubbed over, but you get used to the subtitles very fast. Like, you don't even think about it after a while. But if you like Stranger Things, you will love Dark. It's got all kinds of really cool elements to it. I'm not gonna say any more than that. But
okay.
If you like Stranger Things and you like paranormal, dark,
Black Mirror,
yeah, mystery, something. There's a big mystery, then you'll love this show.
Okay.
All right. Now we can wrap it up. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for watching and listening this week. Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncast.com.